Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're reading from the fifth canto, chapter 18, text number 4. Vadanti Vishvam, Kavayasmanashvaram. Pashyanti Chadyatma Vido Vipashtita. Tathapi Muhyanti Tavaja Mayaya. Tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya. Suvismitam krityam ajam nato smitam. Vadanti. They say authoritatively. Vishvam. The entire material creation. Kavayaha, great learned sages. Sma, certainly. Nasharam, perishable. Pashyanti, they see in trance. Cha, also. Adhyatma vida, who have realized spiritual knowledge. Vipashtitaha, very learned scholars. Tatha api, still, muyanti, become illusioned. Tava, your, aja, O unborn one. Mayaya, by the illusory energy. Suvismitam, most wonderful. Krityam, activity. Ajam, unto the Supreme Unborn One. Nata asmi, I offer my obeisances. Tam, unto him. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Unborn One, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet, even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world. And they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful. And I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned soul within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced, the learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I am this material body, aham mamiti, And everything in relationship with this material body is mine. He is in illusion, moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature, for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person, immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bharat. Maharaj Bharat was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly toward a small deer, he had to suffer two more birds. One as a deer and another as a Brahmana, Jad Bharat. Afterwards, he was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee. But if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits sins, mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. Omagyanati mirandasya gnanjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. Offer my obeisances unto him. So the text again. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world and they preach the truth as well. They are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Hare Krishna. So, this is, I hope we can make this relevant to ourselves. Here we are hearing that even great souls, they sometimes fall prey again to the illusory energy, although they are self-realized. One example which is given by Srila Prabhupada in this purport is Maharaj Bharat, who was on the level of Bhava Bhakti. So, how is it possible? Due to inattentiveness, Srila Prabhupada says here. A little slight attention to something else, a deer, and the whole thing happened. Two more birds. So, there's many other examples. The text says that even great souls, it can happen to them. And it's described as the Lord's pastime. That's interesting. So, great devotees getting entangled, seemingly, in material energy. Sometimes, here it is described as the Lord's pastime. Is there any pastime which come to mind? If we and pastime where a devotee is in trouble. Gajendra. He was in illusion. I mean to say he was in elephant body because of offenses before. Yeah, okay. And particularly, so that's a pure devotee, he seems to be an illusion, or a very advanced devotee. And this is then said to be the Lord's pastime. Can you think of? Oh, Brahma Vimohana Lila? Lord Brahma, he is looking, he sees a cowherd boy. God Wait a minute. Got a cowherd boy? By the way, he's eating a sladder with his left hand. Come on, give me a break. So this is pastime, right? So this is one beautiful one. Arjuna? Yeah, so Arjuna, he is a pure devotee, and then he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to do what Krishna tells him. Is this a pure devotee? Pure devotee is Guru Avagya, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. So yes, this is certainly another wonderful example. Any others? Lord Shiva, yes. Can you explain? Oh, yes. Another example of Lord Shiva? Oh. Okay, you had another in mind, you see. Okay. Yeah. How could he do such a thing, you know? Because devotees are titikshavaha, karunika. But you don't give me a cup of water, huh? I'll show you, huh? The kshatriya nature came out. But this is a pure devotee. So normally he shouldn't be overcome by his passion of a kshatriya, right? But it happened for the sake of the Bhagavatam to be spoken. Any other examples we can think of? Maybe Lord Indra, right? So Indra also, come on, what is this? I don't get my share in the sacrifice. What? They're taking my paraphernalia for my puja? So, it's another example, right? So, and even Lord Shiva, one time he fought with Lord Vishnu, remember? As a result, he had to lose his abode, Kashi, right? And then he had to take shelter of Bhubaneshwar. So, all these things, they happen. It's for the Lord. It's the Lord's pastimes. So, these are some examples. I was thinking in this class, we could have a look at maybe do a little case study, just briefly. How come then Maharaj Bharat, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, he gives him as an example here. So Bhagavad Gita describes, right, the process of fall down. And it starts with, and in Bhakti Shastis, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangate Shupajayate. So, Sangat Sanjayati Kama. Kama Koda Bujaya, and so on. So Dhyayato. So he saw this deer. Oh, that's a pitiful scene. And I saw a deer losing his mother. And immediately as a soft hearted person, not hard hearted, soft hearted, he immediately wanted to do something about it. Quite a natural reaction. But so it started with contemplating the object of sense gratification, the verse states in the Bhagavad Gita, from which attachment develops. Attachment. It became very attached to the deer, right? Very, very attached. We can't really call it here sense gratification. He wanted to help out. But when we try to understand fall down also for ourselves, because we want to make it relevant for ourselves. So it starts with contemplating some innocence, comfort of life, sense gratification. It's a beautiful world. We should be balanced. I need some space for myself. And that's all true, but when it goes a little too far, so it could become, you can become attached to certain certain things unconducive for advancement in spiritual life. Some things are just, they become obstacles, more than necessary sense gratification. And from that, attachment comes lust. We want it really strongly, we want it really badly, and when we don't have it for some time, or it's not coming easily, we become very disturbed and we commit an offense, for instance. So, yeah, this is in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, described very clearly. After that, we become illusioned. From illusion, memory is bewildered. All the good advice we got, it's all gone. It's not in the forefront of the mind, so it's not ready to be pulled out when we need it, all these instructions that can protect us from in spiritual life and keep us on the path of progressive spiritual life. So, and when the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and that's the last step before we fall back in our old habits or whatever illusion it is. There are so many gross forms of illusion and more subtle ones. But we are prone to fall prey to them. And not only we... So, Shishirada Gopinath. So this wonderful text of the Srimad Bhagavatam says that even great souls, they can fall prey. So of course, an alarm goes off when we read such a warning, because we don't feel, generally speaking, the progressive devotee doesn't feel himself a very great devotee. And then an alarm goes off. Wait a minute, great devotees, they can be trapped by illusion. So, okay, I must be very careful. What could we do to avoid being trapped by the illusory energy time and again? Because there, as I said, there's also subtle ways where we are kind of tricked by the illusory energy. We fall prey to the illusory energy. It's not always a big disaster that happens. We have heard many times probably that there is two conceptions of how to make advancement in spiritual life. So the one is the monkey comparison. A monkey holds on to his mother, who swings from branch to branch, has to hold on really tightly not to fall off. So this holding on to the lotus feet of Krishna is mentioned here as the only way. And the kitten is very comfortable. My Lord will take care of me. I am protected. I don't have to do much. I just have to make sure that I just don't have to reject my mother's affection, my mother's protection. So we are kind of both. We are. We know that by holding on to the process of devotional service, that we could compare to holding on to the lotus feet of our spiritual master, who gives so many instructions on sadhana bhakti. When we endeavor, we can count on Krishna's mercy more. I mean, we make him more inclined to give us our mercy. Because he sees we are serious, we are loyal to our spiritual master, and we are not lazy. We are doing our part. We are doing what we can do. So, Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, he instructs so nicely that there is one problem. When we become too much a monkey, I'll make sure I'm strong. I count on my own strength. So he says, when it comes to the point of that we consider ourselves the doer. So, for instance, in the second chapter, Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport to text 38, he who acts for his own sense gratification, either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. But he who has completely surrendered himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness is no longer obliged to anyone, nor is he indebted to anyone, as one is in the ordinary course of activities. So that we become the sufferer or the enjoyer of our activities when we think ourselves the doer. This is lesson number one in the Bhagavad Gita, a difficult lesson though. From time immemorial, we've been in illusion to be the controller. So we try to always stay in control in our life. But in the next chapter, this is a famous verse. Many have maybe remembered that by heart, that when we consider ourselves a doer, we are called a big fool. And in the 18th chapter, we read there is more than only us as a factor of action. There are four more factors of action. Text 14 says that in the 18th chapter. So the super soul, especially. So without the Lord, we can't do anything without His sanction. So we tend to lose sight of this simple truth. So that would be when we get too much into the monkey mood of clasping. I mean, okay, I bite the bullet. I will just, I won't budge an inch for Maya. She's not going to get me. But then that's where she gets us easily also. And we forget the other part, that actually, as pure devotees, they think, if Krishna is not merciful to me, I will be immediately swallowed by the crocodile of Maya. So one time Srila Prabhupada was standing, paying Guru a deity greeting, darshanarti, and devotees were asking him, Srila Prabhupada, what are you praying when you're standing there so prayerfully? And he said, I'm praying that I may not fall down. Devotees. They were so instructive for them. In other instances also, Srila Prabhupada has said, yeah, your problem with your Westerners is that you're just not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So remember having heard these things. A pure devotee, the six symptoms of surrender, just like in the, Srila Prabhupada quotes them, right, from Hari Bhakti Vilas, he quotes them in the surrender verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Which verse? What is the surrender verse? Yeah. So, and in the purport he says this, that a devotee is always feel protected by Krishna. He knows, he only considers Krishna as his protector. So he only goes to Krishna for shelter. So he knows himself to be protected by Krishna. But that means he also takes this shelter, right? In the end of today's purport, Srila Prabhupada had quoted that one must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. He said, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. So this brings to mind this famous verse from the Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada quotes over and over again, that when we are maybe self-realized, we know we're not the body, which is a very high level, but we don't take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, so then you have to fall down again. Aruya Krishna, param padam padam. So like that. Here he paraphrases that verse. So the devotee is very much aware that, and he prays every day, please protect me from Maya, because he knows that this is essential, that Krishna empowers me to resist an attempt, right? A bomb attempt. Maya is the biggest terrorist, right? Isn't it? We are so much afraid, you know, that maybe some terrorists will come and the governments are afraid. But nobody is afraid of this terrorist, right? But every now and then, you know, she puts a little bomb there, right under us, and then unless Krishna lets us know, watch out, Maya put a bomb under you, so we will explode, you know? We will get some burns. We get some burns on our rear end. So we must be really careful to take shelter of Krishna, because he's like very kind, and he sees everything, because it's his agent. So he can let us know, but as a super soul in the heart. And that's a safe way. And then side by side, we do our homework. We do our sadhana. And I think, because sadhana is such a vast, isn't it a vast, understanding? I mean, there's so many aspects to sadhana. So which to do first? So, well, if we would boil it down, so everything serves one purpose, I think. If we can organize our life in such a way, our day, organize our life, organize our year, organize our month, organize our week, organize our day in such a way that we can remember Krishna. So if we can have at least extremely attentive japa, so that would be such of a protection. We will be so much alert to the booby traps and sniper shots of Maya. So when we are really, we come to the mode of goodness very quickly, and we come to a high level of awareness by very attentive japa. Of course, we need to have a high level of awareness in order to chant good japa, right? So then, what's next? Rising early, right? So, and from that, we will be able to attend Mangalarti, which gives us like a boost for the whole morning program and the whole day and the whole week and month and year. to perform nicely for Krishna, to do all the other activities, the practical devotional service nicely. So I was thinking of this. So have you heard of the Philadelphia Project? Yeah. So this project was conducted by Ravindra Swarup Das. You know him. He came here many times. So as a temple president, he related this in one lecture. He had this habit of locking the door after Mangalarti, and that project lasted for some years. And in that period, so when everybody was chanting japa because the door was locked, what to do? So that nobody went back to old habits. Everybody stayed fixed up. The point making it seems to be substantiating something of the point I was thinking of, that when we focus on, when we really make it a high priority, japa, so, and we endeavor, because he also had a water gun and he could reach the other side of a temple room with it. So in this way, everybody kind of was doing a very hard, conscious endeavor to follow the most important instruction of the guru, to chant 16 attentive rounds. That's the instruction, right? It's not said that, okay, I will chant 16 sloppy rounds and here's your beats and here's your name. But it said 16 good rounds. That's the meaning of the instruction. So then so much good can come from this. So many problems can be solved just from this one thing. It's going to bring us from Kanishta to Madhyam very quickly, right? By this, because that's Namabhas, trying to do it well. And then that will protect us from Maya. There will be no... Because from when we get there, Madhyam, Adhika, then we won't fall back. I mean, generally speaking, there's no fall down. Yeah, of course, Maharaj Bharati was way beyond, and Chittaketi was on Uttama. But there were offenses involved. So I'm seeing here with that, where is the focus? So from rising early, good japa will come about, of course. And then we may say, but I can only do what is humanly possible. But there is a very thin line between complacency and this. So for instance, the guru asks the disciple, my dear disciple, could you kindly come to Mangalarti? And the disciple could say, it's not humanly possible. And the guru asks an additional question, what time do you go to bed? Generally 10:15. Could you go to bed a little earlier? It's not humanly possible. So this introspection, we must see where we put our priorities. And then we can have wonderful results. So sometimes to think back, there are so many examples we could give, but it's a very thin line, what is possible for me and what is just like too much. Then I can't live a balanced life, a spiritual life. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada was always praying to be protected, and we should do so. And at the same time, we should meditate on what tools we have been given. Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a whole outline for spiritual life. And sometimes it's good to go over that again and see how much more could I do. I'm doing this much now. It's called overhauling your spiritual life. It's Holiness Purnachanda Maharaj. He came to Radhadesh as Prabhu. And the title of his seminar was Overhaul Your Spiritual Life. Very wonderful seminar. So that could help us tremendously to remain protected from Maya. Because when routine kicks in, sometimes we're going through the motions and we don't get what we could get out of it, of our japa, of our attending in class. Yes. So this is our responsibility. It's on us. Our Our guru may be even geographically not very near. So what to speak of him observing us on a daily basis. So therefore, we have the wonderful advantage to live in a community where we can reinforce each other tremendously, encouraging each other. Of course, it can also backfire if there is a wave of less enthusiasm. So we could take a jump example from other devotees who said, well, at least I do my service very well, so I decided to do a little less sadhana, or to be a little bit more lenient with myself in sadhana. So, but who says we can't do both? And there are examples also like that. But if that would be a minority, we would quickly become inclined to follow the example of the ease, the path of the least resistance, it's called, right? The apparently easy way, which is not easy at all, because then we are lacking a little bit the protection of the formula Srila Prabhupada gave us. So the sandwich that indeed you work hard, you do work hard, please work hard, a lot of hours a day, but before and after that, yeah, make sure that you first save yourself. So the highest thing is to save others, and contradictorily, higher than that is to save yourself. This is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. It's very wonderful. Spiritual life is wonderful, and if we don't notice, we must do something to see it. So I think that's more or less what I wanted to say today. So just from the purpose, I just take out that part. Therefore, one should not think of himself as a liberated person, immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service, by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yeah. So even if we follow the four regulative principles very rigidly, but how long will we last if we don't follow the whole package very rigidly? So the next priority, Srila Prabhupada, I mean, the most often quoted, will certainly be by rising, early taking, but that's what he says, attending Mangalati, offering flowers to the deity. So we can all read it in Nectar of Instruction. Sometimes it's good to read it again, because it's the instructions for beginning devotees, and I certainly consider myself among them. So, and then hopefully we can become quickly a little bit less neophyte devotees and more advanced like that. That's my great hope and prayer, and I hope for your blessings. Thank you for listening patiently. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanand. Hari Hari Bol. If you have any realization on this matter, I will be very eager to hear it. I will. Out of fear for Maya, one should put form alarms and run to Krishna, and as soon as the curtains open, cry from the heart, Samsara Dava, I'm burning here. It's very hot in this forest fire. Please today protect me from Maya, at least today, Krishna. And then 16 rounds, the same thing. Hare Krishna. Unfortunately, sometimes Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I start to make my planning, because my mind is running, and then why not? Then I should make use of the time better. But especially this, as soon as we notice these wandering thoughts drifting off. But it will be less when we chanted from the heart, Kirtan. Vyasa Kipa Babu was such an experienced chanter. He says, That was also here in Radhadesh in a seminar on Lord Chaitanya's Lila. So wonderful. He was saying, you know, yeah, I always take shelter of kirtan. As soon as there's some kirtan, I join in, and that keeps me going for chanting japa, for instance. So, yeah, if somehow we could take advantage as much as possible, we consider time, place, and circumstance. But like desperately, because isn't it that Rupa Goswami says that is the only price to get this little taste, yes, love of God is called. So it's intense greed to get it. And that means that somehow we will borrow, we will beg or steal. We will be very eager to associate with those who have some of that greed, who are very greedy for spiritual advancement, for tasting Krishna's. And then it's going to, just as you sometimes make the point that in kirtan we become so much enlivened. Yes, because others are into it. And one is enough maybe sometimes. And then also yesterday, just now, I read in the Bhakta manual from the Bhaktivedanta Menon that some guidelines for kirtan is, for instance, you may feel inhibitions sometimes. You feel inhibited. Feel stiff sometimes. Don't feel like dancing. But that you will notice if you do move a little bit along with the other ones, you know, you're going to get over it. That's very wonderful. Yes. Yeah, determination. You have already mentioned it. This determination and enthusiasm and the combination especially is very important, because we sometimes lose determination. But I heard that Ridhananda Goswami, he said that when you regulate yourself, that you will come to a point of determination. By regulation leads to determination. Yeah. Just like the one who couldn't stop smoking, as Srila Prabhupada said, okay, every day at 10 o'clock you should smoke. And then very soon he gave it up, by the way, because it became regulated. Isn't it? Then you find yourself in a serious situation. Oh no, it's 10 o'clock. It's so embarrassing, 10 o'clock and I have to smoke. So and then he stopped to do that. So even in a negative way, it's powerful. He developed the determination. But if we come to Mangalarti regularly, more regularly, or you start maybe with deity greeting very regularly, and then you come also to Mangalarti, and then you have a habit of chanting all your 16 rounds, or I mean the whole japa period, use it up, use all your time up, you know. So all this wonderful, it's so scientific. And Radhanath Swami, he was explaining, in his early days, when he just joined New Vrindavan, I mean he had joined earlier, but then, so there was no japa time. So they had to do everything before Mangalarti. And then it was work, service of course. But so that means we are very fortunate. We can borrow strength from each other. Oh, here is a wonderful chanter. He is very determined, you know, to use this time. Yeah? And this one, he is really into it, it seems, you know. He doesn't move an inch, he's sitting there, you know. So we can take some inspiration from the other devotees. They are sadhus, sadhvis. So somehow or other, isn't it? Maybe there is no powerful big shot devotee permanently with us or all the time. But then our peers, they also very good association because they're sadhakas. Hey, they have as a goal in their life the lotus feet of Krishna. Every day they have this goal. They want to come to see the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. And then they're very happy. And you see their smiling face. And is the smile inspiring? No, it doesn't make me depressed. But it helps me get rid of, like that. But thank you. It's wonderful to discuss this. Are there any other suggestions, realizations, or questions? Yes, that's what Yadunanda Maharaj pointed out when we dealt with that section of the Bhagavatam. It was a kind of offense. It is, Srila Prabhupada writes it somewhere there, right? It's an offense to leave the association of devotees. So we can't go to our room. We should be with the devotees like that. Okay, of course, sometimes you need a little time for yourself. But, you know, like that. We are in need, badly in need, of the fence of devotees which protect this frail creeper of bhakti. It's still frail after whatever Like that. So therefore, the devotees, they protect it, you know, because if, as soon as you do something weird, which is not so devotional, then and very kindly they will point it out to help us. And then, when the mindset is right, we will eagerly accept it for our protection and our advancement. They are our well-wishers. But sometimes we start to confuse. We have to avoid devotees and associate with internet. Oh, that was Baladana Maharaj's point. But I mean to say, like, devotees are our well-wishers. And sometimes not palatable, maybe, because we sometimes they put too much salt or pepper in the correction. But then it's still a good thing to be corrected or to be, maybe you should look at this from another way. But usually that not so many corrections. Generally it's all inspiration. Yeah? Any other points, question? So this gives us a chance before the breakfast to chant some more. Very attentive rounds. Thank you very much for listening. Kantra Chimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopinam ki, Bhaktarimi ki, Jai.